So we're here to talk, not really to talk much, but to really share in the celebration of God doing things in people's lives. And it's just such an awesome thing when you get to participate in seeing people grow and develop and get launched out in so many different ways. And that's really our heart. We believe that God has given every single person a purpose and a destiny for their life. You're not here by accident. You're not here by chance. You're not here simply to take up space until you go home. Okay? You're here to do something significant for the Lord, for His kingdom, here on this earth. And so one of the values that we have here at Heaven's Invasion is really helping people to get clarity on what does that look like? Who am I? Right? What did God make me to be like and to do and to be good at and to be gifted in? And how does that help the world? How do I get to bless the world through what I'm good at? You know, that's such an awesome pursuit. And many of us are kind of on that journey, and we're making good progress, you know. And that's what Impact is all about. You know, we started Impact almost 2 years ago. And it's just a way for us to help people see that, get that, move toward it, and become successful in whatever God's called them to. And so tonight we're talking about this thing called ordination. And I wanted just to share some thoughts with you to help really bring an understanding about what that actually is. Many of you might have realized that, you know, in the institutional church world, there's a lot of things that we do that really aren't in the Bible. You know, they've kind of grown up as traditions and just the way things are done. And ordination is one of those things, right? When you think about ordination, you think about, oh my God, I gotta go to college, Bible school, I have to go to seminary, I gotta do all this stuff so that I'm qualified to be ordained. Yet none of that is found in the Bible. It's just not there. So what is it? When we talk about ordination, we talk about recognizing people. What are we talking about? You know, the word itself, ordain, it actually just means to appoint. And when you think about appointing someone, really all you're doing is you're making a choice. You're selecting somebody for some reason. And in the kingdom of God, anybody know who makes the choices and who makes the appointments? The king. The king makes the appointments. He makes the choices. Not man. Yet, unfortunately, in a lot of institutional church settings, people are chosen not because God chose them, but because they finished a particular course of study, or they graduated, or, you know, well, we're not going to ordain you because that's what we do. And it, in many cases, has absolutely nothing to do with whatever God is saying about that person. It's just, well, this is the process that's in place. So it's important that we understand that. And, you know, as I was talking to the Lord about this and, you know, just truly trying to get a better handle on what He wanted me to talk about tonight, one of the things He showed me, which is really kind of mind-blowing, is that we can see the very first ordination that ever happened in the life of Jesus Himself. Do you remember the thing that Jesus had to do first before He got into His ministry? What was that? Yeah. Went down to the Jordan, said, John, I need you to baptize me. And John said, no, what, are you kidding? I won't be baptized by you. Right? Jesus said, no, this must be done to fulfill all righteousness. You know what the righteousness part was? John laid hands on Jesus when he baptized him. And when Jesus came up out of the water, he heard the voice of the Father, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in the form of a dove. And that was the public ordination of Jesus Christ into His ministry. Did you ever think of that? You ever see it that way? I didn't until the Lord showed that to me this past week as I was talking to Him about that. That, in effect, or in essence, is really what ordination is all about. And so Jesus, you know, in His ministry, that's what He did. Right? When He started His ministry, people started following Him. He had crowds all over the place. But you know what He did? Luke 6 talks about how He went up on the mountain to pray, spent the whole night, came down off the mountain, and selected 12 guys to be his disciples. It also says that he called them apostles. And so we see here an example of Jesus making a choice out of the crowd of disciples, right? The people that were following him, he picked 12. Said, you guys, you're going to be my core, my team, right? He chose them. He called them first, right? How many times did Jesus walk around? Hey, come follow me, right? He called them, but then he chose them to go to another level in their service with him, right? And, Luke 9 tells us that he called them together and gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases, and then he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom. So are you seeing a picture here? Called, chosen, sent. This is the essence of what ordination really looks like in the scriptures. Luke 10 tells us that Jesus wasn't even satisfied with the 12. It says he appointed 70 others. So now we're talking widening the circle, right? Out of the crowds that continued to follow him, he chose 70 others, called them out, and said, okay, you guys are now going to go forth two by two into every city that I'm about to come into. I want you to prepare the ground for me. Okay? Another example of what ordination actually looks like from the scriptures, right? In John 15, he's talking to his guys right before he's crucified. Just think about this. Jesus knows he's about to be crucified within the next maybe 24 to 48 hours. Do you think he might have some important things to share with his disciples before that happened? Right? So this is what is happening here in John 14, 15, and 16. In John 15, he says, I'm not calling you slaves anymore. I'm calling you friends because I've shared with you everything that the Father has given me. Right? But check this out. Verse 16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. How about that? You didn't choose me. He said, I chose you and I appointed you. See, that's ordination. That's being placed in a position of responsibility in the kingdom of God. And then we see Matthew 28, right? Jesus' final words to the disciples. All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go, therefore. Go. The sending, the go of the gospel. This is what ordination looks like. Okay? You hear the call of God. You choose to follow what he's asking of you. And in your following of that, he affirms, yeah, I've chosen you. And he says, now I'm going to send you. And the sending is where the rubber really hits the road, where you really begin to function in who you are. So, what did it look like after Jesus was, raised from the dead? He went back to heaven. Well, before that, he speaks to the disciples in Acts 1, and he says, stay in Jerusalem. You're going to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit, right? And verse 8, he says, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, even to the remotest part of the earth. Okay? Again, I'm calling you. I'm making you ready. And I'm sending you out. Now, day of Pentecost comes. And the Bible says there were 120 in that upper room. It had to be a pretty good sized room. It was probably somewhat close to the size of this room. And 120 people together on the day of Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit falls. They get filled. They start speaking in tongues. Miracles are happening. It's just an amazing thing. But you know what's interesting? When Paul describes what Jesus told him about this incident, this is in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul is recounting his testimony of how he heard the gospel. Do you know who he heard the gospel from, by the way? Paul heard the gospel from Jesus himself. He had a vision. He had an encounter with Jesus. And Jesus, you know what he did? It's like Jesus basically says, Paul, I need to catch you up quick. All right? Because you weren't around for everything that happened when I was on the earth. And all of that. So here's the deal. And he caught him up with everything. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, he says that there were 500 people that Jesus was speaking to during that 40-day period from the day he was raised from the dead till the day he went to heaven. 500 people at least were in that crowd that Jesus was talking to. How many people made it into the upper room? 120. Wow. What happened to the other 380? Interesting, right? So 120. Jesus said something very interesting when he told a parable about the king who wanted to give a feast for his son's wedding. And he sends out invitations throughout the entire realm, says, hey, come to my son's wedding. And every single person he invited said, no, I'm busy. This is the story Jesus is telling, this parable. I'm busy. I got to go do this. I got to go do that, whatever. They had all these excuses why they couldn't come. So what did he do? He said, all right, go out to the roads, go out to the alleys, wherever, and just bring them in. Bring them in. And he did. And it had a huge wedding. Feast. It was awesome. This is the story Jesus is telling. You know what he says at the very end? He says, for many are called, but few are chosen. And so what I want you to understand tonight about serving the Lord and about, let me use a very, you know, a word that we associate in the wrong way. But when we talk about promotion, right? We think about promotion. Well, I'm going to get promoted. I'm going to have, you know, a title and a bigger salary and whatnot. Promotion in the kingdom of God doesn't look like that. But I'm going to use the word anyway because God definitely believes in promotion. It's just we got to understand what that promotion looks like. Okay? So he says, many are called, but few are chosen. What does that mean? That, you know what that means? That in the kingdom of God, right, the king is an equal opportunity employer. He really is. He's an equal opportunity employer. He doesn't give any limits or put any kind of restrictions on anybody. You come in, and guess what? You get to serve. You get to be part of what I'm doing. That's the call. And I would say most of you in this room tonight, you've heard the call and you've answered it. You've responded to the call of God. But how do you know whether you're chosen? Because Jesus talked about that, right? Many are called, but only few are chosen. You know why the folks in the upper room were considered the chosen? It's very simple. Because they heard the word of the Lord when Jesus said, stay in Jerusalem and wait. The other 380 evidently didn't take that seriously. Because see, what God is after is so simple. He's after us simply being faithful to obey what he tells us to do. And when you do that, when you make a decision, you know what? I'm going to do what Papa shows me. I'm going to do what Jesus says. And you do that long enough with consistency, the Lord looks at that and says, now there's somebody that I can say is one of my chosen. And it's all based on how we respond to him. Okay? Are there exceptions to that? Yeah, there are. You know, before Paul became Paul, he was Saul, and he got knocked off his donkey by Jesus. And unless that happens to you, what I'm describing is what you've got to understand about this whole, you know, thing about being put in positions of responsibility and leadership in the kingdom of God, right? It's all about, am I being faithful with what he's asked me to do, right? And here's the good news. The good news. He never asks you to do anything that he hasn't first provided everything you need to do it. This is not some kind of religious treadmill where you got to go, oh, I've got to, you know, I got to read the Bible for at least an hour a day and then pray for an hour a day. Always, you know what? This is a relationship with a loving Papa who wants nothing but the best for you and I in our lives. He wants us to actually live out and fulfill what he created us for.
How shocking is that?
But that's the truth. So what happened after this was just, you know, them beginning to see how this works and putting into practice. They ran into a problem after a while in Acts 6. There were so many people that became part of, you know, the family of God that they couldn't keep up with taking care of them. The widows and the orphans and all the people that were in need. You know, the apostles were going, this is too much. We can't handle this because we're not really called to this. We're supposed to be, you know, training and equipping and teaching and all this kind of thing. So what do? We got to find somebody to help us here, right? So I love what they did here. See, in the institutional mindset, the organized mindset, you would think, well, the leaders must get together and they must think and pray and ask God who it is that we should select for this particular job. No, that's not how they did it. They actually gave the assignment to the people at large. He said, you, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit, full of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. So the folks basically looked around and said, yeah, you know what? There, right there. Oh, that guy too? Absolutely. How did these guys get picked out of the crowd? Only because they've been faithful to do whatever God told them to do. And in their serving, people were affected by what they were doing. Do you know how you gain favor with people? Do what God tells you to do to bless them. And when He touches them, your favor goes up. It's like, God touched me through you. You must really know God. Right? And you get favor in their eyes. And you know what favor gives you? Influence. And you know what influence is? Leadership. See, all of this stuff that God puts here for us is totally optional. You don't have to do this if you don't want, but guess what? Guess what? If you do it, it's going to be the wildest ride you've ever been on. Because He's going to get you in places where you get to be who you really are and to do who you really are. You know what I'm saying? And the joy level, the satisfaction level, the significance level goes through the roof. And it's only because you decided, I'm going to do what you say. I'm going to be faithful to do what you say. And so, this is how, basically how the church went through and learned about these things. Acts talks about how when Paul and Barnabas, they were raised up in Antioch in Acts 13. They laid hands on them and said, get out. Holy Spirit says you got to go. And they went out and did their missionary journeys. You know what they did when they were out there? Every place where they established a body of believers, a church, they would go back there after a while and look around and say, who's been serving faithfully here? Who's been helping and praying and working with people and just serving them? Who's been doing that? And once they found out, you know what they did? You're an elder. They would appoint elders in every area where the church was thriving. And what are elders? Elders are just moms and dads that know how to love, that know how to nurture, that know how to, you know, give younger ones sometimes. Any of you could use a good kick in the butt once in a while? Right? It's that kind of thing. That's what we're talking about. And so, when Paul wrote to Titus, he said, for this reason I left you in Crete, that you would set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. Paul taught Titus, said, look, this is how we do it. We establish a body of believers, and then you look to see who answers the call to serve. And whoever that is, that's the one that you say, you know what? You're an elder. They're not elders because somebody says so. They're elders because they're already doing it. They're already serving in some way that sets them apart from others that haven't quite got that yet. No judgment, no condemnation. It's just the reality. Some folks don't get it quickly, but others do. And so they dive in and they begin to serve with all their heart, all their soul, all their strength. They begin to be there for people. And in so doing, God's able to say, yeah, you're one of my chosen, because that's what you're doing. And so, we're here tonight to do something that we've never done before. We have never, ever had an official, quote-unquote, ordination of anybody. And part of that is because in our culture here, we don't make a big deal about position. Right? We consider ourselves family. And so for that reason, and because also in the scriptures, we don't see anybody addressing anybody else with a title, we don't use titles here. It doesn't mean we don't recognize gifts, we don't recognize calling. We just don't think that you need to put that in front of somebody's name. In fact, you know what Jesus said to his guys when they were arguing about being great? He said, you want to be great? Be a servant. You want to be first? Be a slave. So you know what? How about this? You want to call somebody with a title? Call me Servant Russ. Right? Or call me Slave Russ. I don't care. You know, it doesn't matter. But see, we don't have that hierarchy thing going on because it's illegal. It's illegal in the kingdom. It's all about serving. It's all about coming under people to help them get where God's called them to. You know, you come under and you lift up. You come under and you encourage. That's what Jesus was talking about. And so this milestone that we're participating in tonight here at Heaven's Invasion absolutely could not happen, would not have happened without my friends. And so I'm going to ask for my friends. I'm going to ask Jackie and Rosa and Millie to come up here right now, because this, what we're doing tonight and where God is taking Kingdom Training Institute and all that we've been called to, I'm here to tell you, without any doubt in my mind, this would not be happening without my friends. Now, I have to say that we're short tonight because my wife, unfortunately, is in a lot of pain. She's at home tonight. She's not feeling well. Please feel free to declare that has to go, right? And our brother Juan got stuck doing some extra work shifts, and he's not able to be here tonight. So there's two more, okay? But these friends of mine, this core that I have, you know what? Because, you need to see this, because they chose years ago to simply say, yeah, God, whatever it is, I'm going to do it. And I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to back away because maybe things didn't go well or we had some issues. Let me tell you, we've had issues, right?
Well, yeah.
All right? Okay? You can't be in family without having issues. Nobody's got perfect family. But here's the deal. They made a choice years ago to say yes to God and to keep saying yes. So I'm here to tell you tonight that while we're not engaging in an ecclesiastical or an institutional ordination, right here, you're looking at three people who are ordained. These guys are as ordained as Melody, Amelia, and Patrice will be when we do this in a few moments. I want you to understand, though, that the core of ordination is simply a recognition of what somebody's already doing to serve the body of Christ, to serve people, okay? And each of these guys, they're functioning in their giftings. And so I wanted to make sure tonight that you understood that here's some moms right here, you know, and Juan and I, you know, we represent the dads, you know what I'm saying? And we're trying to really represent the heart of the Father in all this stuff. And so I wanted to publicly declare over all of you guys that I consider you as ordained as anybody that can put a reverend in front of the name. By the way, do you know why I got ordained? The only reason why, and I've shared this with some of you before, the only reason why I got ordained was because my wife's niece called me up and said, "Hey, we'd like you to perform our wedding." And I was like, "Oh, geez, you know, I really can't do that. I don't have an ordination, blah, blah, blah." Well, I had also at the time, I had a very good friend who had an apostolic organization. And so he said, "I'll ordain you, no problem." So I got ordained so that I could go to Florida and perform a wedding. Okay? But before that, I had absolutely no desire or need for that kind of thing. Gary's going to share a few thoughts about the institutional side of ordination. This is the organic. What you're seeing tonight is the organic. There is a institutional I can't think of the other word, but that's good enough. Institutional. There is a need for that in a certain way, and Gary will talk about that, so I don't want to steal his thunder.
Can I sit down now?
Could you sit down now? Would you like to sit down?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm glad you said that.
So Gary, where are you, buddy? Let's give a big hand for Gary Fishman. You missed my jokes, man. You weren't in the room. I didn't do them as good as you, but I'm trying. I'm really learning, trying to learn how to follow in your footsteps with respect to these jokes, okay? And I know you're praying for me, so I appreciate that.
I heard them. They just weren't funny.
I know.
Yeah. I tell you, I don't get no respect here, you know?
Hey, let me see. Dearly beloved, we are gathered here. I think I brought the wrong paper.
I think you did. Is that for a funeral? Or...
But we're going to start the ordination in a second. And it's true, you spoke about the family aspects, but there's a real need in the world to be ordained because we deal with real people. We're dealing with institutions. See, in the years that I've been ordained, it's been important because I go and preach places. They want to know, who are you connected to? And sometimes it can be even harder for women, you know, in ministry, with just to be out there and just say, "Well, I'm not connected with anyone. There's nobody that's got my back." So there's a real need. There's legal needs, too, in terms of getting housing allowance if you could be full-time in ministry. Some churches won't even allow you to come and speak unless you're ordained, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
I go to churches to minister, and they won't allow me to bring other people to pray. Oh, well, they're not ordained. We don't want them praying for people. So a lot of it is wrong, but at the same time, we're dealing with a wrong world. And I believe that God is calling us to go in and invade that world, to be able to go into the religious system and preach a true gospel, to bring the power of God. And to do that, we need ordination. Another thing about ordination spiritually is I found this in my church, that when we ordain people, all of a sudden, supernaturally, they come to a new level. See, so this isn't only a requirement of the church, but it's in the Bible. You know, that, for example, the scripture said, in the scripture, Paul told Timothy, he said to get that gift stirred up that was imparted to you when hands were laid on you when you were ordained. So there are gifts that are imparted. There's things that happen. And I've seen people come up to whole new levels by the process of ordination because we're following a biblical pattern. We're not just doing a church pattern tonight. If that's all we were doing, I don't know if we'd even be doing it. But it's the pattern in the Bible, again, where they called Paul and Silas, they separated them, laid hands on them, and sent them out, and they had great success. So I believe for those who are getting ordained, you need to expect that things are going to begin to break loose inside of you. Gifts are going to begin to manifest. And you're going to start being released to a whole new level, even in the Old Testament. Who was David, a shepherd? But when the oil was poured on him, he came to a new level. He began the process of learning to be a king. So I believe you're going to all be walking in a whole new way. So we want to invite up those who are being ordained for Melody, Patrice, and Amelia. Don't forget your collars. Where's the collars? Russ, you forgot the collars. Go get them. And I'm also going to ask for those who are that Russ has asked to come and help to lay hands on people, because the scripture talks about the laying on of hands. So if you
actually
could,
I forgot to ask people. So
well, those who are leaders in Heaven's yeah. Invasion,
yeah, if Jackie, would you come up and Millie and Rosa and
yeah. Wait, that is standard. So what we want you to do is to go and be ready to lay hands on.
Okay.
So Patty,
and also going to ask you to be ready with any prophetic words that you might get over each one. Still hugging me? Tissue.
Yeah.
Are you kidding? They're going to stop crying.
There's no crying in ordination.
Happy moments.
We're women. We cry
oh,
over anything.
The women right? Okay, now I'm getting formal here. This must be serious if I'm
telling
formal,
you.
Right? Okay, well, today we have the privilege and the responsibility before God to stand behind, support, nurture, and defend Melody, Patrice, and Amelia's calling, integrity, and mission as ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
See, as Russ said, our job is not to call you. You've already been called. We're just recognizing what God's already done.
Amen.
That's why they're standing here. Each one of them has already been operating in the ministry.
Yes.
Each one of them is already preaching the gospel, teaching, writing, building people up, and the most important thing, as Russ said, is these are true servants. What is a servant? A servant is someone who makes other people shine. See, these are not people looking for glory here. We would have kicked them out. That's what Scott's here for. But these are people whose heart and their goal is to make you better, to make you shine.
Amen.
So every single ordination I've ever been in, they always read 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, so I don't want to break the streak, so I'm going to read it. This is Paul speaking to Timothy, who is a young minister. I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he appears to set up his kingdom. Preach the word of God. Be prepared. Whether the time is favorable or not, patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. And the Message Bible, it says, proclaim the message with intensity. Keep on your watch. Challenge, warn, and urge your people. Don't ever quit. Just keep it simple. So I'm going to add another scripture from Matthew 10, verse 7 and 8. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give.
Amen.
And I charge you with that today. See, we just want to tell you as the body of Christ that we will consistently cover you and your family with our prayers. We will be charitable in our words to you. We will give you the benefit of the doubt. We will appreciate your unique giftedness and affirm your special divine design. We should not expect you to be like anyone else. We will not criticize, slander, take advantage of, or put you under a microscope. You will not face an environment that buries new ideas or causes you to look elsewhere for acceptance and love. Though we as Christians are called to see people equally and without partiality, we as a ministry must recognize that you have been chosen by God as ministers of the gospel with unique responsibilities, pressures, and requirements that go with that calling. As we pray for your success in fulfilling God's will for your life, may we not fail in our obligation to you. If you agree with that, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, so now we're down to the nitty-gritty. This is your chance to run, Melody.
I know, my knees are...
I hear all the noise, your knees not going. And what do you think, Russ? Anyone you have second thoughts about before I get my...
Speak now, forever hold your peace.
Oh yeah, I keep forgetting it's not a wedding, right?
Thank you.
Okay, so Amelia, Patrice, and Melody, will you be a minister of the word in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and continually guided by the Holy Spirit? Will you seek to serve people with compassion, commitment, imagination, and love? Will you be a faithful minister proclaiming the good news in word and action, teaching faith and encouraging and caring for people? If yes, so say you will.
I will.
Amen. So right now, you ready? In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit, we ordain you as ministers of Jesus Christ. So let's just have a hand. We have brand new ministers. So we're just going to pray. I'm going to ask Russ to come. He's going to give out the certificates, but we want to pray right now. So this is where we want to lay hands right now.
You're good. You want to lay hands.
Oh, okay.
So Father, in Jesus' name, Father, we pray over these who are being ordained today, Lord God. Father, we recognize the calling. We see the gifting, oh God. So, Father, we just release spiritual gifts, just as came upon Timothy, Lord God. Father, we release your strength, your power, and your blessing. I decree that you will be carriers of the glory of God to the ends of the earth, that you will carry the spirit of revelation, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of wise counsel. So, Father, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you for open doors, new opportunities, financial blessings, Lord God. Father, we thank you more in Jesus' name. Father, pour out, God, and we thank you today. In the name of Jesus, amen. So what we want to do now is just take a few moments, and I'm going to ask those up here. If we're going to do one person at a time, we'll start with Amelia. If anyone has a prophetic word regarding a ministry for future.
The Lord showed me a picture, Amelia, of Him going before you and like preparing the way. He's there's a path, a smooth path, because there's like a steamroller that's going before you, and the Lord is just making your path straight as you walk on it, and that He goes before you. In Jesus' name.
I have something for Amelia.
I hear the Lord saying He's going to send you out to nations, but the nations He's sending you to is going to be for the speaking people, for like Ecuadorians and Puerto Rico and Cuba and Dominican Republic, because you're going to raise up the Spanish people that don't know how to come to Christ. And Christ, you're going to show them the love of God, the compassion of God, and who God is and how to have a relationship with Him. So He's going to use you mightily in that area. But you're going to go to other nations also, but mainly the Spanish-speaking people. And right now, He's enlarging your territory, Amelia. He's enlarging your territory. He's bringing you higher than you could even imagine that you're coming to. In the name of Jesus, you just keep doing the work of God. And He's going to bless you. And He's going before you. And you just got to follow in Jesus' mighty name.
Yeah. You can go to the nations, but make sure you're back on Monday nights to be on the show.
Amelia, when you were praying, all I kept seeing was South America for you. And I believe God's not only taking me there, but I also heard that He's going to give you an understanding of languages, because you're going to start out going to South America, but I believe the Lord is going to take you in. He's taking you many other places, and He's going to give you an understanding of languages that will come quickly and swiftly. In Jesus.
I heard the Lord say that there are churches or church ministers that have rejected you in the past, but in the future, those doors are going to be open to you, that they're going to see what you have, what they lack. And they're going to come to you, and they're going to begin to invite you, and they're going to repent and recognize the calling and what you had to offer.
Hallelujah.
For I hear the Lord is giving you words of deliverance, words of love for those that you are to minister to. For I hear the Lord, can you just touch your mouth right now, and the words will come forth like fire, burning out all the impurities that are not of God, because there's songs and words of deliverance that come forth out of your mouth, Amelia. You shall see the captives be set free just by the words of love that flow from your mouth, and out of your belly flows rivers. That is a message from God unto those that need to hear. They will have ears to hear the words of God that flow from your mouth unto them in love.
So I don't want to repeat what everybody said, but I see huge doors that seem to even, some of them be like bolted shut. Those jokers are swinging wide open now. This was a holy set up, girl. You got some serious. You have some doors open to you that is just, it's going to blow your mind. And I just see you operating in a way that is just like hilarious, that like God is going to do things through you and with you that is going to totally like belie your tiny stature. Like, it's, you are a giant in the kingdom.
Hallelujah.
And I just see you moving in ways that your mind is about to be blown, like seriously.
I just want to mention, if anyone else gets prophetic words for any of the people, you can write them down or you could share them afterwards. So, you know, we know that God speaks to every one of you.
Amelia, I saw you with lots of gold in your hand. And I believe that the Lord, I asked them what it was about. And it's a financial provision. You don't have to work for it. He's going to hand it to you. And, you know, I think that speaks for like the traveling you're going to be doing. You're going to need that financial blessing to do all the things that He's going to. There's nothing that you're going to go to heaven and say, oh, I didn't do that. You're going to do everything that God has, you know, ordained you to. So,
I just want to just confirm what Millie said about languages. I looked at you and saw alphabet soup.
All right, what are you saying, Lord? And immediately it was that what looks like alphabet soup to most people is going to be absolutely understandable by you supernaturally, and the ability to actually speak that. I don't know how God's going to do it, but you're going to begin to learn languages like overnight. You ready for that? Okay. When you get Portuguese, let me know, because I'm still working on that one, all right? All right. So, the Lord is doing such an amazing thing through you. I've never heard this phrase before, but I'm going to speak it to you, and I want you to receive it with all the weight that the Lord has for you. He's bringing you into a place where you are going to exercise the authority of joy.
Wow. Hallelujah.
Whoa! I'm about to get a little of that myself. Yeah, I know.
We're gonna give words to Patrice now.
So. Did you notice I gave a word to Patrice? So, yeah. I mean, I can keep going, but I'm trying to be nice.
Even before you started speaking, I saw Patrice rolling on the floor. And I'm like, she's pregnant, Lord. No, I saw you rolling, and that is what happens when you're really joyful. But then also not only rolling, but also in that rolling, things are being broken, like deliverance is going to happen as you roll. And I believe that that's God going to put you in places where you're going to come in and roll in that place, and you'll be able to deliver many. And
yes,
that's what I saw you rolling.
That's what I saw. Amen. And just as confirmation, I just believe that the Lord is going to be using you mightily. That when you open your mouth, people with depression, people with you know, heaviness, people that are bipolar, people that have all kinds of mental disorders or infirmities, it's like your word is going to set them free. The Lord has put up an anointing, a healing anointing for that particular area. And I believe that as you open your mouth, your joy will be what the Lord is going to use to just break the barriers in these people's lives.
One of the things, you are an awesome worshiper. And just like you said with your words, just your worship, even when you worship, as you worship the Lord and the songs come out, it's going to deliver and heal people through your worship. Your worship is not just worshiping God, you know, that's the awesome part, you know, it's awesome that he wants that attention of you, but your worship is going to break, it's going to change the atmosphere.
That's right.
When you go into a place, it's going to raise the dead. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to lay hands. Just open your mouth and worship. Those songs that are going to come out is going to be for healing, deliverance, even setting the minds free. The mothers that have that mind thinking the enemy wants to destroy their child, your worship is going to come forth and reverse that thinking, because it's going to be more of a mighty cry. Your worship is so special and so mighty and so powerful that the people doesn't understand it right now. But you do, because God has put it in you. So your worship, you keep worshiping the Lord the way you keep doing it. Things change. The atmosphere changes.
Amen.
Through your words and through your worship, you are dangerous.
Yeah.
You are dangerous. And you're
dangerous.
Is scary.
Let me see this mic.
Every single thing that you just said are things that the Lord told me himself.
Wow.
One time I was shoveling snow. And like we had this long, I asked him one question, and it was like, Lord, why don't I just seem to want to sing just to sing? And he said, because you're singing me. So he said everything. He said,
wow.
I have not ever been willing to say this to anybody.
Well,
you just say
God.
Everything, he said.
Come on.
Glory to God.
That's good.
I want to confirm what she said, because you know how you always hit those high notes, and I always tell you someday the glass is going to crack in here. So that confirms me, because God showed me that those things are going to crack in the spiritual realm, and they're going to shatter. Everything in the spiritual realm is going to shatter when you hit those high notes.
Worship, but I heard lullabies that God has given you
for you believers, because they don't understand the word of God, and God through you, through the song and through the words, it's going to be like a lullaby to their ears of God's love for them. And I heard the Lord say it's going to be easy. It's going to be very easy how he's going to use you, and it's going to be mighty. So prepare yourself. Roll up your sleeves, wear those high boots, because he's going to use you. He's going to use you mightily to set the captives free. And I also see deliverance also in you for others, you know, and just the written word, the spoken word of the Lord. You're going to grab that mic. You're not just going to sing. You're going to speak the word, the spoken word of the Lord. It's going to set the captives free, and people are going to get healed of damaged emotions, in the emotions, in the area of the emotions. They're going to be healed. Why? Because of the word of God that's coming forth from your lips in love.
That confirms the picture I was seeing as people were speaking over you with joy and rolling on the floor and worship. And what I was seeing through all these words was bread coming from you to others, that you're feeding people, you know, the word of God. So it's the written word of God, and the spoken word of God is in your, just as you're living, as you're worshiping, as you're just doing your thing, there's bread going out and feeding the hungry.
Amen. Amen.
What can I say about you that you're not already doing? Right? But what I saw was you driving a school bus. And I know you deal with the youth, but God is going to use you with the kids, with the younger ones. And, you know, you're going to make it so easy for them. I think Jackie said that. You're going to make it so easy for them that it's like, you know, they're just going to be changed from young. You know what I mean? But they're not going to have the struggles that we as adults have when it comes to the word of God and all that stuff. They're just going to be like, oh, okay, this is normal.
Yes.
And you're going to make it so easy and so normal.
Amen. Amen.
What I heard the Lord say was that the greatest aspect of your ministry in the final analysis is that in the natural, the way that you help to birth children, that in the spiritual, that you're going to birth many destinies, that you're going to raise up many who are going to fulfill their calling, and in doing that, you're going to duplicate not who you are, but your heart and your passion. You're going to impart into a whole generation.
Amen.
Amen. So, now we're up to Melody. So, here we go.
Melody, I just want you to know that God is going to do some really amazing things for you in India, especially in the issue of poverty. He's going to make you break that cycle of poverty amongst those people, changing their mindset. It's just going to be so amazing how he's going to do it, because you know how they have the caste system? That's not going to apply to them anymore, because you're going to go over there and you're going to show them who they are in Christ. Amen? But, you know, the biggest thing that I saw for you was how that poverty cycle is going to be broken off of them. And in doing that, he's going to bless you too, because he wants to make you a blessing to bless them. Amen?
When I came and I stood next to you, I actually felt the fire just come all over you. And I actually got, it came on me. But there's such a fire on you that you're going to go there and you're going to start fires wherever you go. And I saw you speaking into the atmospheres, and I see you changing them.
Yes.
Changing them. So don't be afraid. Just speak into those atmospheres. But that fire on you is great, and it's high.
Yes.
Okay? And just go and touch and start those fires.
That confirms that I saw her flying, and I'm like, oh, what is she doing up there? And I said, Lord, what is she doing up there? And I saw you carrying like a sheet, and you were covering, but it wasn't like just local, it was like you were covering a nation. And I was like, wow, God, she's covering a nation. And she says, yes, because I've given her that amplitude. It's like you were flying high and you were seeing in the spiritual realm, but you were carrying a mantle, like, and you were covering a nation. And and India is the nation that God has you covering. So he's giving you the strength to go forth. And you will fly high, and you will see, and you will discern, and you will bring breakthroughs to this nation and to the people in that nation. And as a fire starter, whoever said that, that is what you are to be. But you're covering them also, and God is sending you in power and might, and signs and wonders will follow you.
Yes. Amen. That's right.
Well, when we got called up here to lay hands on you guys, the first thing I noticed when I stood next to you was your shoes.
Yes.
And as I'm looking at them, I felt the Holy Spirit just minister to me, because he says, wherever you step,
yes,
everything you need will be there. I saw as you walked, your shoes would let coins out. Okay, so... So, I'm getting from that God is going to provide financially for every aspect, not only of this trip, but of your life.
Amen.
Amen?
God showed me something, and the thing he showed me is, I see you going into places, but you have a sledgehammer. And you're breaking the grounds as you walk in there, and you're tearing the grounds up. And they were like, oh, here she comes, she's going to break the grounds. But it was like the enemy is scared. He's so scared that when you walk into that territory, you're coming for business. I mean, you're serious. You're breaking the ground, you know, setting the captives free, deliverance, even raising the dead, even with that sledgehammer. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
You are mighty in the kingdom of God, and you are a giant. People might see this, okay, what she told you. No, you are a giant in the kingdom of God. God bless you, sister.
Speaking of the fire, when I was behind you, I was like, Lord, what is the element that I'm sensing? And it was just fire, and I'm like, well, I gotta move back. I have to move back a little bit, but it's the feeling of the Lord. And I heard you saying you were in prayer, and I heard you saying, what in the world, Lord? Really? And yes, because God is gonna have you doing miraculous things. Miraculous healings are coming forth from you. Also, and I'm hearing a concern about your family here, that God's taking care of them. There's a ring of fire surrounding you and your family, no matter where you go. And then the shoes also caught my eye. They're beautiful, but I also saw that as you took the step, it was just like, the word of God is a lamp unto my feet is what came to me, you know, and it was just, the pathway was just being lit up everywhere you go. So yes, you are definitely going forth to in India. I'm getting China too, but that's another story. But in India, I'm getting there where the Lord is just using, it's going to use you there mightily, and you won't be alone, because God has raised up an army to watch over you, to pray over you. Here in Jersey, you have people who are from everywhere going to be praying for you and believing God for you. And yes, the finances, I saw everything is taken care of. And pack lightly, because you're going to be blessed with a bunch of great things.
So I'm not going to repeat what I told you about the family and all, but I still see that. You have family everywhere. But what I saw today is this like really cool like vision of, okay, so it's like this desert before you, right? And it's all like the earth is dry and cracked and all, but I see like as you walk, as you take steps, and the steps that you're taking are, it's like it's a representation of time spent in those places. But like when you look back, it's all like flush, like green, things are growing that don't even naturally grow there. And just, I mean, gorgeous. So yeah, I just speak that over you, and I praise God for that.
I feel like I have to say this, but no more fear, no more intimidation. I just see you being like bold and like you're not afraid of anything. You're like that, please.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? You're just going forward, and you don't care who's around you, what's around you. You're just doing the thing that God has told you to do.
Yep.
And as I was considering you walking and taking your steps and the atmosphere changing as you go, because the Lord goes before you, He goes with you, and releasing captives. And I saw this in a general sense, like specifically when you go to India, you know, setting captives free in a general sense. But the Lord was highlighting it's also specifically, and through words of knowledge. And it's something that the Lord is training you in, and you're growing in, and you're going to grow to greater heights. You're going to know specifically what people need to be delivered from, and you're going to as you press into the Lord, He's going to give you the right words to deliver them. So He's developing you more, and to bring deliverance and freedom. That's a key word, is to bring freedom specifically as He leads you.
What I heard the Lord say is that you're going to go to places that don't recognize women in ministry. But what I heard the Lord saying is don't be intimidated, to stand strong, because God is going to use you to destroy that spirit. So He's saying whether people respect that or not, the Lord is saying stand your ground. Don't give in to bullying or intimidation because you're a woman. And God is gonna get people to begin to back down and eventually change their mindsets. So it's important not to, if they try to intimidate you, you just stand and God is your defender.
That's good. Just to kind of give you a little more on what Millie saw and what Patrice saw. The coins, I love the coins, that's awesome. So, how I understand that is because you're being sent into this area, those are symbols of how the Lord, as you walk it out, the Lord is going to release the resources of heaven through you. And people that don't know what that's like, they don't know what it's like to be in the Father's kingdom, where everything's provided and there's no lack, there's no fear, it's all good, right? You're walking into an arena where that reality is going to be released through your ministry. And I've never seen this or heard this before in my own prophetic ministry for anybody, but I'm going to tell you that the Lord is offering to you one of the end time sickles.
Wow.
For the harvest.
Wow.
That's deep.
And, are you ready for that?
I'm going to be ready.
Will you receive that?
Absolutely.
From Him?
Because
okay. He's offering that to you. To go in that level of authority,
yes.
You're part of the end time harvest. Okay. You had a dream. That's so good. Come on, let's celebrate. Let's just give a little glory.